This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, I'm Chris Stafford, and thank you for joining us on this special episode of the USEA podcast. I'm joined now by Rob Burke, the CEO of the USEA, and Joni Morris from the United States Equestrian Federation. She is their Managing Director of Eventing. Welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, first of all, Rob, would you like to explain what you're going to be addressing today and why we're here for this discussion?
Sure. As this is our regular USEA podcast, I wanted to take a step away from our normal programming and address the tragedy that really occurred this weekend at the Jersey Fresh International competition. As most people are most likely aware at this point, there was a very unfortunate fatality during the cross-country portion of the CCI three-star. Philippa Humphreys of Great Britain suffered a fatal accident while competing there on Saturday, May 14th. Philippa was 33 years old and from Rockford, Michigan. At the time, she was riding her horse, Rich and Famous, who was a 13-year-old Dutch Warmblood thoroughbred gelding, who was also owned by her and her husband, Peter. They had a fall during cross country at fence 16 and was transported to Robert Johnson University Hospital in Hamilton, New Jersey, where eventually she was pronounced dead by the attending physician. Obviously, you know, between both the USEA and speaking, not trying to speak out of turn, but for USEF, you know, we've definitely wanted to extend our deepest sympathy on behalf of the entire sport to the family of Philippa Humphreys, all of her connections. So that's really why we're here today.
Why don't we begin by just explaining the roles of the three invested parties in this, which is, of course, the U.S. Eventing Association, the United States Equestrian Federation, and also the International Equestrian Federation, the FEI. Why don't you begin, Rob, with explaining the role in this circumstance and what the protocol is with the USEA?
Sure. So within the USEA, as really the educational arm and affiliate of the USEF, we have an involvement in all eventing recognized competitions throughout the U.S. We have a safety committee in place. We have a cross-country safety and design task force in place, and they are always interested in evaluating any accidents that occur throughout the year and evaluating anything that any changes, potential rule changes that we would be wanting to put forward to the USEF. So from that perspective, we are in the monitor, evaluate, investigate phase from our standpoint. And from there, I'd turn it over to Joni.
Thanks, Rob. The USEF is the national governing body for equestrian sport in the United States, so every country has a national federation. We liaise directly with the FEI, which is our international federation for sport. The USEF, in a situation like this, sadly, you know, we work very closely with the organizing committee, with the officials, and with the safety officer to make sure that we have all of the relevant information pertaining to the accident and that we use that information to, as Rob said, you know, from a research perspective, to see if there's anything that we can do to enhance our safety initiatives to, you know, to prevent this kind of accident from happening again. We also work closely with the FEI to make sure that they have all the information that they need, because every time something like this happens, speaking for the USEF, but also I know the FEI and the USEA feel the same way. You know, the organizations take it incredibly seriously, incredibly personally, and do every bit of due diligence that's necessary to make sure that we have all the information regarding these situations. It's an eventing competition can be a complicated day because there's a lot of things going on, and so we rely on the people on the ground to get that information. And sometimes, you know, we get the initial reports, and then we spend the next few days really making sure that we have all of the details sorted out that we need to have. and we process and maintain all of those records within the National Federation.
Rob, can you speak to the time frame and the steps that are now taken going forwards?
Sure. From our perspective, like Joni said, for the next several days and stretching into the next few weeks, we'll be collecting as much information as we can. I know that, as Joni said, their folks are doing the same thing. And, of course, we're always sharing between ourselves as the affiliate and USCF. So that's really the majority of what I can say at this time. And a lot of the timeline will really be dependent on the information we collect and how much more is necessary to be able to investigate. And really what happens is this turns into, like any investigation, a fact-finding question and answer. The question is asked, and every time you answer another question, you inevitably another question arises. So it's kind of getting to the point where we exhaust all potential questions that arise and doing as much as we can to do that. So,
do you want to speak to the research that is ongoing into the safety, obviously, of the sport and fence construction design and that sort of thing, and where that's coming from, how that's being funded, what that looks like nationally and globally?
Sure, yeah. You know, among the many things that the USCF, the USCA, the FEI, and even others have been doing over the last several years, research is one of them at the top of that list. As it happens, earlier this year, we developed or redeveloped a relationship with the University of Kentucky and Dr. Suzanne Smith, who is conducting a very interesting research study. So we've actually funded that through donations from our membership and others. And that research is focusing on a couple of factors, one of which is continuing to better understand rotational falls. We're all aware that rotational falls are one of the most catastrophic things that can happen to a horse and rider while on course. So what the University of Kentucky is doing, as well as others around the world, is collecting as much information as we can on the factors that influence that eventual rotational fall. Some earlier work that the USCF and ourselves had funded really helped push forward progress on things like collapsible fencing, frangible pins that many people have heard about in recent years. And this research will also continue It will also continue to look into those designs that have been implemented, their effectiveness, as well as potential other ideas and concepts that might come out of a better understanding of rotational fall dynamics. So it's really interesting stuff. It's very important research, and it's kind of a bevy of it's one of a bevy of other things that have been worked on over the years.
So. Joni, do you want to speak to the USCF and the FEI's role and involvement in this research?
Sure. Each national federation has a national safety officer. Ours is Jonathan Holland, who took over that position this year. He's also involved quite intensely with the USCA and their safety initiatives as well. He attends a meeting every year with people in the same position from all national federations. Before that meeting, we prepare a really extensive overview of statistics. We follow the trends. We see, you know, what types of fences people are falling at what level, and any injuries related to that. I think it's worth noting that the statistics are improving or staying the same. We're not seeing an increase, even though in falls or injuries overall, despite we're seeing an increase in the number of people participating in the sport. So from the FEI standpoint, they're working on a global level, analyzing trends across the world. And at the USCF, we work quite closely with the USCA, and we have two ongoing programs. One is in conjunction with the USCA, and it's our course advisor program. And we send out people designated as course advisors out to cross-country courses, whether it's a new designer, a course that maybe had some issues the previous year, and we send an expert out to work with the course designer and the technical delegate to review the course, to make any changes necessary, and help make sure that the course is designed and laid out in the best way possible for the piece of property and for the level of competition. We also have the Frangible Technology Program, which is a line item in the budget, which provides up to $500 worth of frangible technology to any event that requests it. We store all that frangible technology here at the USEF, and Sheila Costello she heads that program here out of our office, and it's used it's used every week. It's used as far as the requests that come in, and people very, very frequently buy additional frangible technology from us above and beyond what they're provided through the grant. And that is one thing that the National Federation does, is because so much of this technology comes from overseas, so we act as a warehouse of sorts for that. We order it, we buy it, we keep it at the USEF, and then we distribute it to our course designers and organizers as requested throughout the year.
And we also should mention, Joni, that you have set up a fund for Millie, the daughter of Philippa and Peter. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. So obviously the eventing community is a very close-knit one, and we go through all the highs and lows together of our sport, which everyone obviously cares so much about. And on Saturday night, at Jersey Fresh, we had a rider meeting just to make sure that everyone had a chance to talk to each other and just more of a support situation than anything else. And after that meeting, there were several people that all looked around at each other and said, gosh, what can we do now? What can we do for Philippa's family? And she Millie's about to be 6 months old, her young daughter and her husband, Peter. And the thing that came to mind was, looking towards Millie's future, she's going to grow up, without a mother from here on out in her life. And so what could we do to help her with that? And we talked with Pete, and we set up a college fund for her through youcaring.com. And we've had an overwhelming response, which has been absolutely incredible, and closing in on $50,000. And we started on Saturday evening. So, and today is Tuesday. So it's been incredible. And I know Pete is incredibly touched by the outpouring of support for his family, and can't actually believe that the response. He and Philippa both love the sport, and that's what he keeps saying to me. And he says this just proves how wonderful a sport we have.
And where can our listeners find more about this journey?
There's access to it on the USEF Eventing High Performance Facebook page. Or if you just go to youcaring.com and search under Millie Humphreys, it will come up that way as well.
All right. Thank you. Rob, any final thoughts?
Some of the few things that I did want to make sure people understand is that, it's in these times of tragedy, it's very easy to start to think that the progress has not been made, and I want to get away from that as much as possible, because progress in this sport has jumped leaps and bounds, especially in the last decade. Much work has been done. I can go through, it would take me forever to list through what's been done in the last decade, but from like I mentioned earlier, rules and regulations on horse and rider safety, research studies, the certified instructors program for eventing that was put in place in the late 90s and now has only progressed. Our training programs for eventing officials and course designers are really, they're becoming the envy of the world as they look to what we've been doing. The creation of task force that are specifically investigating cross-country jump design, in addition to this research that we've been looking for funding through the University of Kentucky. you know, rider representatives, safety officers, there's the list goes on and on. And I would definitely refer anyone who's interested in all that information to go to our website, useventing.com, click on rules and safety and safety, and they'll find, you know, an amazing assortment of information, stats, ongoing projects. It's great information, and it helps to show that there have been a lot of people working very hard in recent years to prevent tragedies like this. We will all continue to work as hard as we possibly can towards that goal.
Joni, would you like to add anything?
Sure. I mean, obviously, I echo everything that Rob said, and I hope that, you know, those involved in our sport understand that the people on the administrative side who live this sport day in and day out, you know, are committed to the safety and welfare of our horses and riders every day, and it's in so much of what we do, you know, based on our rules, based on how we organize competitions. It's in the forethought of everybody's mind, and you know, these things are incredibly difficult when they happen, and it takes a lot of self-examination, you know, to figure out the best way forward for individuals, but also for the organizations. But there is, to Rob's point, a lot of progress that's been made, and it will, you know, as speaking for the USCF, and I'm quite certain Rob would agree with me that, you know, that won't ever stop, because we're both organizations are seriously committed to producing the best sport and the safest sport possible for our horses and riders.
Thank you, Joni. And thanks to Rob again, Rob Burke, our CEO here at the USCA, and to Joni Morris, who is the Managing Director of Eventing at the US Equestrian Federation. Thank you both.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Liz Lund was a close friend of Philippa, and she joins me now from her training base in Minnesota to reflect on the life and her memories of Philippa. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Liz, first of all, our condolences. I know she was a close friend and meant a lot to you, but I'm sure you'll be happy to celebrate her life as well and reflect on your memories of the friendship that you had with her. Take us back a little bit to where that began.
Yes, absolutely. I remember seeing Philippa for the first time at Otter Creek in 2007, and she was riding her mare, Whoops-a-Daisy, and I was watching her warm up for the cross country, and she just trotted and cantered her mare around and then went over to Starbucks. Like, well, she didn't even jump a jump. She didn't do anything. She was just kind of off to the side and went off, and she ended up winning the intermediate that weekend and had a beautiful ride and knew exactly what she needed to do for her horse. And, you know, Daisy was a hot horse and couldn't really handle being in the warm-up, and she knew everything to do to have a good, positive ride on her, and that's exactly what she did. So, you know, I introduced myself to her, and, you know, shortly after the horse show, I called her up and I asked her if I could come and basically live with her. You know, I just thought it would be great to go and learn from her and see what her program's like and hear her story and meet her friends and her team and see all of her horses. And, you know, we still laugh about that, you know, that random phone call from this random girl that just wanted to come and live with her, literally her and her, you know, with Peter at the time. and, you know, I was lucky. I was able to go out there for a few months in the summer with my horse, Lady Hannah B, and she helped me. You know, at the time I was running preliminary, getting ready to move up to intermediate. And I was able to go out there, and I moved right into her house. They had a bedroom for me. It was me, Philly, Peter, and their dog, Piggy. This was when she was in Grand Rapids. So she has recently purchased her farm in Rockford, and that was now based out of Rockford. So I was able to go to her farm at the time and become a close friend with her. And after that, it just kind of kept going, and I'd ride with her at horse shows. She took me to my first full format one star to a third place finish at Mid-South that year, reserve national champion, which was amazing. I never thought, you know, I'd get that far, and she absolutely made me feel confident getting ready for the move up to intermediate. And she helped me as I moved up to intermediate and did a few two stars. And with many horses over the years, you know, I spent the winter of 2010 I went down with her, lived in her trailer on the pullout couch with her in Florida for 3 months. And then most recently, last winter, 2015, we were leasing farms on the same property. So, you know, I never thought for 1 second that she wouldn't be there to answer a phone call or a text. And, you know, being slightly removed from the situation from when it has happened, to me, it still doesn't even seem real. And when I go online and read, you know, all these thousands of posts of people that love her and care about her and all these memories for Millie, it's just heartbreaking to me. So,
well, I'm sure that she shared the stories of her beginnings in the horse world when she grew up in England, because it began for her in the Pony Club with hunting and eventing over there, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, she was always telling me I needed to get over and go hunting. And I was like, I don't think I can handle that. Like, I don't think I can go hunting in England. And we just most recently had a trip over to Ireland to get some horses. And she would text me every day, you know, did you get any horses? Have you vetted them yet? Have you gone hunting yet? And I'm like, no, I am not going hunting in Ireland. And she always jokes about that. And just, you know, she claims that's where she got her courage from, is just going out hunting in England. So,
And she started riding very young, didn't she?
Yeah, she started riding, like, very young. I had written that article for USEA. I think that was written in 2007, too, and there's a great picture of her as a kid sitting on a pony. And you can just tell it's, like, where she was comfortable and where she was meant to be. And, you know, it's just interesting having not lived in Michigan, but being relatively close to her and the phone calls we just make to each other or texts. You know, I stood at lamplight with her when this, you know, big gelding stepped off the trailer and she met Rockstar for the first time in person. And, you know, I was there, I videotaped her first grin on him and his first bounces. And, you know, she texted me after she moved him up to advanced. And, you know, it's just like anytime something exciting happened in one of our lives, like, we'd always contact each other and be happy for each other. And she was super excited when I was getting my new farm up here. And, you know, she had her farm in Rockford that, you know, was her pride and joy. She made that herself, and she had tons of horses and clients that cared about her and absolutely love her and worship her. And, you know, we all miss her so much. It's just unreal.
And her first passion, of course, was always eventing then, really. And since she moved here in 2005 and really just got straight into it and building her own business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember, you know, she had a couple owners when I first met her, and she was riding some horses that, you know, moving them into the upper levels. And I'm like, well, how do people know you? How do people know you're here? And, you know, she didn't know. So I made her website for her, and her groom at the time designed her logo, and we made clothing that summer, PH Eventing. I put up her Facebook page, Philippa Humphreys Eventing. And I mean, even just watching that over the last few days and the amount of likes and comments just on her business page has been unreal. And the support that has been given through the equestrian community, it just really goes to show that, you know, especially for us, like, this hits very close to home for a lot of people, you know, in the eventing all over the world, but especially in the U.S. So, you know, it's just amazing, the outpouring of support.
We should recognize that she was a true horsewoman. You know, she really was very down to earth and concentrated on the horsemanship and the values of good horsemanship as well. And I'm sure that's probably what appealed to you to want to go training with her.
Absolutely. So, you know, I have some good memories. Let's see, we had gone to a horse show in Pennsylvania, and I needed another intermediate, I think, for a qualifier for something or another at the time. And we went out there, and we did dressage and show jumping, I think, was on the first day, and it just poured rain, you know. And she made the call, well, you know, if the footing wasn't absolutely perfect, it was always the horses first. You know, if it's too hard, you don't run. If it's too wet, you don't run. You know, it doesn't matter if that means you're not going to hit your next goal or your next milestone. Like, there's always another horse show is her motto, you know. And there, you know, as long as the horse is safe and healthy, you can always take him to another horse show. And she loved the horses no matter what they did. She was great at taking horses off Craigslist, little ponies and little quarter horse crosses, and turning them into fabulous kids horses or adult amateur horses. I had, you know, two clients purchase horses from her that were solid, absolute rock stars. You know, she made them brave on the cross country. She, you know, taught them to love what they do and be safe while doing it. You know, she had a minis at home that she loved too. So she literally loved all different kinds of horses, and it didn't matter what their job was. She helped them figure out what it was and put them in the correct direction all the time.
Well, of course, she was a USEA ICP level 2 instructor, and instructing, teaching, well, really was her passion, wasn't it? And as you said, she had quite the client base up there.
Absolutely. She was a great instructor, very to the point. You know, when you did it well, she would tell you. When you did it wrong, she definitely would tell you. But she really just wanted you to learn and to understand why, not just go out and do what she's telling you to do, but understand why you're doing it and how it makes the horse, you know, go better, why it makes you go better, ride safer. And, you know, even just walking courses with her, you know, she would walk courses with me on horses, you know, that I was riding that she had no idea what they were, and just give me a variety of different, you know, ideas and thoughts. And if your horse is going to be like this here, this is how you should ride it, and make sure you pay attention to the shadows and the lighting and, you know, the changes in terrain. And, you know, she taught me so much over the years from different horse show to horse show. And, you know, being even in Florida with her this last winter in 2015, you know, we'd write sale horse ads together and bounce ideas off of each other for our business. And, you know, okay, I'm struggling with this horse. And, you know, another great part of her is she would come and ask me questions, which I was just blown away by. Like, why does she want my opinion? Like, that's who she is to me. So it was cool that she respected me and my program that I've created over the years to ask for my opinion. And yeah, it's just a really great relationship that we shared together.
And whilst she was a good and enthusiastic instructor, she was also a very keen competitor.
Oh yeah. She knew how to go out there and get the job done. She was lovely on the flat and always wanting to know more and taking dressage lessons. And she had her dressage trainer in Michigan. And I know she rode with a gal in Florida last winter. And, you know, she'd go show jumping. She'd just do everything so that she could be better in every way possible for herself, for her horses, for her clients. You know, and her clients absolutely understood her leaving for the winter and having to go and do what she needs to do. This is her business too. And the better she can get, the better she can teach, you know, the more benefit for everybody. And she really loved to compete. You know, seeing her at the horse shows was a blast. And we have, you know, a ton of memories. Going to Richland was my favorite. You know, I sometimes try to get out there early and go and stay with her for a few days. And we'd always look forward to the competitors party. And we'd have Philippa Humphreys eventing versus Liz Lund eventing, you know, Flip Cup tournaments, and it was kind of a tradition. Peter would always come to Richland, and you know, she just, everybody loved being around her, and she was so much fun. She'd get everybody dancing, and you know, she loved Mexican food and margaritas. And every horse show we'd go to that we were going to be at, we'd at least try to get together for one night to go to dinner and see each other and catch up. And you know, and she, I remember I was just going through some texts, and she's texting me, you know, I can't wait for my baby to come. I'm going to have my baby soon. And I had my baby. Her name is Millie, and absolutely loved her. She posted about her all the time. I haven't been able to meet her yet, but I hope I can soon. And it's just amazing the switch in, you know, now she has her own baby, and that was truly her pride and joy, where before it was, you know, the horses, and that's what she did. And, you know, of course she's loved Peter, absolutely. And now she has another child, and it was just amazing to see her gush emotions over a baby, because she wasn't like that before. And it's just amazing to see how people change when, you know, a human being is brought into their life, their own child. And she loved Millie, absolutely.
So as you reflect on your friendship and memories of her, Liz, what will be your most standout memories that you will treasure?
I think definitely a lot of the advice she gave me. She's a pretty tough gal, and over the years, like, I'd call her with questions about dealing with clients or friends or owners, you know, and I'm emotional. So, you know, she taught me I need to stand up for myself and, you know, don't let people question your morals and what you believe is right, just, you know, because they want to get something or change their ways. And it was the same with the horses. Don't let the horses push you around. You know, you train these horses and you help all these different people, and don't let any one of them take you for granted. And if they don't appreciate you, only surround yourself with people that are going to make you happy. And that's exactly what she did, is she surrounded herself with people all the time who brought her up. They never put her down. And if they did, they weren't around for very long. And, you know, I think that's an important takeaway from, you know, something that she's taught me, is just surround myself with good people that are appreciative and fun-loving and outgoing and caring. So,
well, a wonderful legacy, Liz. I want to thank you very much for coming on the program and sharing your memories.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
This special episode is dedicated to the memory of Philippa Humphreys.